In what's been a terrible bushfire season so far, with appalling air quality, the focus has been on adults and their issues with the air. But what about babies, including babies yet to be born? The Respiratory Medicine Department of the Royal Children's Hospital in Melbourne has a many-decade-long international reputation for its work on infant lung problems, and this has been picked up by the Murdoch Children's Research Institute at the hospital. Sarath Ranganathan is Head of Respiratory Medicine at the Royal Children's and heads the research group at the Murdoch. Welcome to the Health Report, Sarath.
Thank you very much. You're talking to a fan of the show and it's a pleasure to be here.
It won't make the questions any easier at all, but it's very nice of you to say so, Sarath. So what do we know about the infant lung and bad air, if you like?
Well, not as much as we should, because as for most things in medicine, we focused on adults predominantly. And we've often transferred that information down to young children and babies. But infants, particularly in relation to their lungs, have a very specific physiology, which potentially puts them at specific risk of exposures such as pollution and bushfires. Physiologically, they are different in a number of ways. One might be that, babies breathe more air as a proportion of their body weight than adults do, about 50% more.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And
so it's almost like the exercise, you know, the analogy would be the exercising lung. You're just pulling in and pushing out much more than an adult would.
Yes, relatively speaking. So that might pose a greater risk for infants. It's also a very sensitive time because this is when the lung is developing most rapidly compared to any other aspect of life, any other phase of life.
So it's growing?
It's growing incredibly rapidly. Most of the alveolar development, the area where oxygenation occurs, actually takes place postnatally, not in utero.
And the alveoli, they are these little sacs which are very thinly surrounded, thin coverings to allow the exchange of gas, as you say. And really the lung is a spongy mass of these alveoli.
Absolutely. There are approximately estimated to be about 50 million of these at birth, but about 250 million in the adult lung. And most of that increase in number occurs in the first few years of life. So it's a particularly vulnerable time.
And do we know that pollution, smoking and other things affects that?
Certainly, we do know that exposure to tobacco smoke, particularly in utero exposure, has a significant impact on lung function when this is measured in babies using special techniques, up to 20% reduction in lung function in some babies.
That was work done at the Royal Children's in Western Australia with Lou Landau and Peter Lesueff a few years ago. So that's essentially pollutants passing in the mother's bloodstream.
Yes, and the real importance attributed to that is that what we now know is that those reductions that occur in lung function early in life appear to be maintained throughout life. That's also findings that have been drawn out from studies done in Australia.
So the risk here is, well, we'll come to the difference between smoking and air pollution in a minute. So the risk here is reduced lung capacity, therefore exercise capacity, and the increased risk of infections, what?
Well, from acute exposures, we believe there's a potentially greater risk of infections. But from chronic exposures, we think that they are likely to have these longer term impacts on lung function. And the reason why that's important is that if you get to 23 or 24 years of age, that's the best you're going to ever achieve in terms of lung function. And then it falls from that point. So if you have a lower starting point, there's a lower threshold at which you're going to start to get symptoms in adult life. And we're starting to see this in conditions such as chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, COPD.
So what do we know about air pollution as opposed to cigarette smoke?
We're increasingly recognizing the adverse effects of air pollution on respiratory health. And I probably want to make a slight distinction between air pollution associated with vehicles and combustion compared to the air pollution from bush smoke, from which we actually know very little. But air pollution is complex. There are a number of particles and gases and other volatile compounds that are present in air pollution, all of which have potential harm to individuals. The specific harm to young people, we don't really know.
So that's a bit troubling. Mm. When you say acute versus chronic exposure, what is chronic exposure? I mean, is that 2-3 years? I mean, kids will be going to get almost a whole summer of lousy air in Melbourne, Sydney and Canberra, for example. Is that still acute exposure or is that chronic exposure?
Well, I think what we've been exposed to from the bushfires in Victoria, at least, and probably also New South Wales, is relatively acute exposure. And so the side effects of that are likely to be acute symptoms of bronchitis, coughing, sore throats, wheezing. But we don't necessarily attribute any long-term side effects associated with that short-term exposure. But chronic exposure, living in cities with high levels of pollution, and I should add that Melbourne, generally speaking, where I live, has got low levels of pollution. Chronic exposure certainly does impact on lung function.
What's the advice for parents? I mean, we don't want to scare people stupid here, but the what's the, you know, pregnant women, people with young kids at home, what's the advice?
Well, there are lots of sources of good advice on this, and I probably will just reiterate those.
Well, you're
experts.
The head of respiratory medicine for all children, so I'm asking you.
I'm not saying I'm the best advisor here, but I think the advice that's been put out recently is good advice. People should stay indoors, shut the doors and windows, ventilate your house when the air quality is good. Don't exercise outside. Certainly for younger children, that's relevant. For babies, stay inside. For older children, it is possible that they might benefit from wearing an N95 or P2 mask because that protects them against the very small particles, the PM2.5s.
And the other answer is we need to know a bit more than we do.
We do, and obviously there's specific advice there for people who do suffer from cardiac or respiratory conditions. It's important there to have your medicines in stock, available close by, and so that you can follow your treatment plans.
Sarath, thanks for joining us.
You're welcome. Thank you very much for having me.
Professor Sarath Ranganathan is the head of respiratory medicine at the Royal Children's Hospital in Melbourne and heads the Respiratory Diseases Group at the Murdoch Children's Research Institute.